Okay, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is November 5th, Friday, and today we are reading from the Big Book, the chapter Working with Others, page 97, the first paragraph only. Today's readers are Stephanie L., Jordan L., and Leslie M. The reference number for Thursday, November 4th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is 18,032. And our reference number for this morning's meeting, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 18,036. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Add a vision for you, Big Book Study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dori P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Dori P., recovered in Georgia. Thank you, Sherry, for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people, whatever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Dori. And I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. I'm Linda B., compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought never be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Linda. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, the chapter Working with Others, page 97, the first paragraph only, starting with Never Avoid These Responsibilities. And I will ask Stephanie L. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you can assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day, if need be. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money and your home, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police courts, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she is neglected. A drunk may smash the furniture in your home or burn a mattress. You may have to fight with him if he is violent. Sometimes you will have to call a doctor and administer sedatives under his direction. Another time you may have to send for the police or an ambulance. Occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. And wow, I remember this time around reading this this paragraph and talking to my sponsor about working with others and sponsorship. And what really sticks out to me is she said to me, service and sponsorship does not have to be convenient. In fact, it's probably better when it's not convenient. And it says here, helping others is the foundation stone of my recovery. So if I am not willing to give back what has been so graciously and generously given to me, then, you know, I don't get to keep what I don't get to keep it. I have to give it back. It's the foundation. It's the foundation. Once I get to step 12, it's the foundation of that spiritual connection that I have been given with a higher power, that I now get to help somebody else find that connection through working these steps. I get to take them on the path that I was taken. And I remember my sponsor also telling me that, you know, for local people, who couldn't stay abstinent, she would have them stay at her house. She would invite them to stay with her and her family for a specific period of time. And I remember thinking, wow, that's amazing. Now my house is kind of full as it is, so that wouldn't work. But it really, you know, that's the length that, you know, like I need to be willing to go to help another struggling compulsive overeater. It doesn't mean that has to be that way all the time. It says here occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. You know, if the phone rings late at night, that could be someone who is struggling and needs help. It could be a sponsee who needs help. So I have to be willing to meet these conditions. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Stephanie, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Okay, so let's take a lineup. I'll start asking for names.
Barbara
Wendy
S.
B. Okay, I heard a Barbara F.
Yes.
And who was after that?
Wendy B.
Lindy B. And
Wendy.
Anybody else? Oh, sorry, Wendy. Gosh. Hi, Wendy. Yes, Wendy B. And anybody else this morning?
Dory P.
Okay. Barbara S., Wendy B., Dory P. Okay. Why don't we start with that
Irene
lineup?
B.
And then Irene B. Okay. Thanks, Irene. So my ears may need check this morning. So let's start off with Barbara S., followed by Wendy B. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, could you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we heard you, Barbara.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me?
We hear you.
Yeah.
Yes, we hear
okay,
you.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
My name is Barbara S. from New York. I am very thankful for program, grateful for this, the big book and vision for you. It's like my main Bible or second Bible. However, I understand and I know we are sharing what we have and continuing to give and share the message how to go through recovery. And I would be more than comfortable being very supportive to somebody. But I think, one of the things I've read in the big book, that it's maybe the example is extreme. If somebody needs my help and it's in the middle of the night and it's not continuous, fine. I had a sponsor who I was going through something quite extreme, that my son was ill, and I called her quite a few times, you know, through the week, you know. And, of course, I'd be available for that, but I have mixed feelings for food, for somebody to start breaking the furniture. And I understand the reason for saying that. We should have an understanding. For somebody who is totally desperate, I will be there for them. But if anything violent happens, what I would do is refer them for professional help. And that's just where I stand. I would be available to listen, to suggest what I've done at times like that. But if it becomes too extreme, I'm not too sure until I'm there. But I think this extreme paragraph example is good, but questionable in the food area and in my life. but I would be more than available, more than the average person, because I know what it is to go through recovery and relapse and all that with food, and how desperate and how sick I could feel and how sick I have gotten from food. You know, it's in my family, diabetic, but I was an A1C of 10 at one point, and now I'm down to 6.3. And that's thanks to God, thanks to program, and thanks to others. And I want to be available in that way. I can't say for sure that I won't be fully available in the extreme, but this is just how I feel today. So thank you, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much. Okay, let me stop that. Okay, Barbara S., thank you so much. Wendy B., you're up.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And so I looked up the origin of the phrase Good Samaritan that was used here, where it said you have to act the Good Samaritan every day if need be. And it was out of the Gospel of Luke about a traveler beaten and left for dead, and a few men passed him by, you know, avoiding him. And then finally a Samaritan stopped and, being moved with compassion, helps the injured man, you know, and bandages his wounds and took him to an inn to care for him. And so this is an example, you know, we're to go out of our way, you know, inconveniencing ourselves to help others. And the word altruistic, used in the doctor's opinion, comes to mind, which means showing unselfish concern for the well-being of others. So I get to put a priority on helping others into my schedule, you know, making myself available. I get to show, you know, real love and compassion for their needs. You know, I get to pray during calls, you know, that God show me how he would have me best be helpful to them, you know, and to direct my words and to just be a safe place for them to be vulnerable and share their truth, you know, which includes letting them do most of the talking and not talking over them, thinking, you know, what I have to say is more important. You know, this call is about them, you know, sharing, not me sharing. And most of the situations, you know, expressed in this paragraph, you know, aren't really applicable in my situation, you know, as a sponsor in phone meetings, because I don't have face-to-face contact, but I need to make myself available, you know, when and however I can. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. And Dory P's up next.
Yes, thank you, Sherry. Dory B. Dory P. recovered in Georgia. And some, you know, one of my favorite fellows on these lines says, what you need as a sponsor is love and good information. And the good information part, you know, I can take care of by constantly, you know, being on these meetings and listening to you and reading the book and hearing from others how they sponsor. And the love part is really where the inconvenience comes in sometimes. The inconvenience, you know, all these things that they list here, that your telephone may jingle, that, you know, your business might be interrupted, that you might have to go to the police, and even if it's not, you know, word by word, that's what happens. But inconvenience does happen. And sometimes is related to the time that you spend with someone or when they call. But for me, I find it that what sponsorship is teaching me, what God wants me to see, you know, when I sponsor, that love comes from, you know, from having humility. And that's something that I struggle with in, you know, my personal and my program life. But that's with every sponsee that I work with, is a great amount of humility that I need to find in myself to find that love that is required, other than the good information. And for me, that humility is a low focus on myself, and a greater focus on my sponsee and her or his needs. And, you know, an accurate estimation, not over or underestimation of what I know about this program. And also being okay with, this is what I know at this point in my recovery, and this is what I can share. Not trying to come off as, you know, someone who has all the answers when my sponsees ask me, because I don't, far from it. And being okay with saying, I think I need to ask someone about that. That's a great question, and I don't have the answer to it. So so for me, that love and that being okay with being inconvenienced in my humility and the love that I'm giving is a big part of carrying this message and working with others. And it's every time me that learns more from the sponsees and from working with them, I think, than what they learn from me. And I think that's how it's supposed to. So that's what I had to share this morning. Thank you for letting me do so, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Dori P. And now we'll have Irene B., and then we'll take another lineup.
Good morning. Thank you so very much for your service, and thanks be to God for this beautiful meeting and the beautiful shares before me. I'm Irene B., a recovered, very grateful recovered mimic. This story of sponsorship and what we're supposed to be for our fellows. Thanks be to God again for the love that is expressed in these rooms. Love is the only thing that can heal me. I'm speaking for my experience. And I was blessed and blessed with a sponsor who has been very patient with me. My lack with sponsorship has been very poor. I guess I've not had sponsees who were desperate enough or willing to go to any lengths to get recovery. And but I was able to stay sober by sponsoring my sponsees, and I cannot speak of that enough. And others before me have said that much more fluently. And the big book says that very fluently. It's when I work with others, I'm working for myself. In my experience with my relationship with my higher power, is that I give him an inch and he gives me back a mile. And that's, I believe, why I am recovered from bulimia. And to me, that was the easy part. Recovering from bulimia, that was the impossible task. Recovering from food addiction since age 6, that was impossible. Recovering from bulimia for 40 years, that was more impossible, exponential. And now I say that was the easy part. I mean, how crazy is that? For me, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, the allergy of the body is totally there. But what goes in between, what goes on between my ears, that's what got me sick. That's that which I cannot stop. That's that which only my higher power can remove from me. And I just need a lot of help with that. And I don't know if that's what makes me inefficient, because I feel like I'm inefficient, like I don't have a message.
Gentle reminder.
I see that. I'm just going to wrap it up and say that it's not my place to push God's will. And when the time comes, maybe God will use me magnificently to help others who have been trapped in an eating disorder and could not be free. Just like I couldn't be free. And if I can be free, anyone can be free. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene. And now we're ready to take another lineup. And if you're just joining us, we're on the top of page 97, first paragraph, working with others. And just a gentle reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, maybe consider not sharing today. But I'm ready for a lineup now. So if you want to start giving me your names, we can get our second round. Sheila. I heard
Jordan
Sheila.
L.
Anyone? Jordan.
Maggie M.
Joy S.
Kathleen W.
Joan R.
Jennifer C.
Okay, here's
Kathleen W.
Jennifer C. Yeah, I heard you, Kathleen. Here's who I have so far, and if I missed you, please give me your name again. So far, I have Sheila, Jordan L., Maggie M., Julie S., Kathleen W., Joan R., and Jennifer C. Did I miss anybody with this lineup?
Can you add my name? It's Francoise C.
Yeah, can you repeat your first name? I apologize.
Yeah, Francoise.
Oh, Francoise. Yes, absolutely. There you go. We're going to begin with this lineup. If everyone else can please mute, that would be super helpful, except for Sheila. Sheila, star one, and it's your turn to share. Are you there, Sheila? Star one to unmute.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was already unmuted. Here I am. I want to confirm there's no qualification for sharing, correct?
That's correct. We just asked that you share on topic, and we've just read the first paragraph on page 97 and working with others.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you. Sheila B. in Florida, and this particular paragraph, it kind of, you know, just kind of remind me on both sides of the coin, I guess I should say. I'm reminded of actually when I first got into a flu recovery program back in 2008. And I do remember my sponsor taking the time. I was coming to meetings and everything, but really still having a hard time with the surrendering part and just really enjoying just the fact that to hear that there was hope. And her taking the time to, two people actually who one was a sponsor and just one other person who just kind of took me under her wings too. He just took the time to just sit with me and, you know, she was walking through some key points in the big book, and I remember her statement. Oh man, I remember her statement. Sheila, you can like what you have, but it will take a decision. You will need to decide what you're going to do. And that phrase still sticks to me even to this day. And that was from September of 2008 when she shared that with me. I remember another person even taking the time to go to the grocery store with me. I had no idea how to grocery shop to purchase, to have a grocery cart full of non-alcoholic foods. I didn't know how to do it. And somebody took the time to take me to the grocery store. And so those are things that I think about when it comes to helping others for me. Especially people who are local. I will say though that during this past year, I've been went through the steps again recently, and this has actually been the first time I've really focused on, you know, doing the step 10s and step 11s every day, and I am just amazed at how much selfishness and self-centeredness comes up with me about my. I don't want to call anybody. I'm just like really not liking doing outreach calls because I don't want to talk to people. And that's selfishness. And, you know, I'm like seeing it. I'm just grateful to be able to see that that's what that is, because you know, whatever struggles I may be having now. And then seeing that sentence that says, helping others is the foundation stone of my recovery. And here it is, the foundation stone of my recovery is the one thing that I'm like, oh, man, I got to call some tag. I got to call somebody every day. And helping others, you know, again, just that just kind of, you know, just kind of hit me. And so, you know, still, God, please remove the selfishness. Please remove the selfishness of not wanting to talk to people. And I think I heard that. I think that's my time. And
yeah.
And thanks for letting me share.
And thank you so much, Sheila B. And Jordan L. is up next, followed by Maggie M. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with everyone this morning. Never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. I'm not sure that I've ever noticed that sentence the way that it hit me this morning. I've been sponsoring an Overeaters Anonymous for the last like 3.5 years now. And I got to tell you, like, that this idea of living this sentence here is difficult. Like, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to determine whether I am avoiding the responsibilities or doing the right thing by assuming them, you know? I did that a lot prior to this. I avoided responsibility. I avoided responsibility for my own actions. I avoided responsibility for my own behavior. I was like the queen of blaming people and still can be. You know, like, my ego is alive and well, most definitely, which is why I continue to practice this stuff every single day, right? and then this idea of, like, is assuming them the right thing in this particular case, you know? Is that God's will, you know? Like, is that what I'm supposed to be doing here, you know? And this actually makes me think of the second half of step 12, which is practicing these principles in all my affairs. The principle that I practiced prior to recovery in all of my affairs was control. I practiced it in eating, I practiced it in my romantic relationship, I practiced it at work with friends, or I guess it led to a lack of friends. That was like the overarching principle. And so when I come in here and I start doing step 12, I'm learning to practice spiritual principles. Control is not a spiritual principle. it's what I'm letting go of, actually. And practicing these steps, and I'm learning to practice spiritual principles instead of that, like love and service, perseverance in step 10, inspiration in step 11. This is like real new territory for me, and even after like a couple of years of practicing,
reminder.
I'm still learning. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Jordan. And now we'll have Maggie M.
Hi, this is Maggie M., compulsive overeater. Reading this paragraph, I'm struck by the fact that, you know, it's a little outdated. It comes from a time when there wasn't a lot of help available to alcoholics. They speak of sanitariums, and we don't really have that in that form today. There's a lot of help available now, but that doesn't mean that the spirit of this paragraph doesn't hold true. So inconveniencing yourself when you're sponsoring to help your sponsee. At this point, I'm still the sponsee. This is my first time through the steps. And I'm thinking about how I never burnt the mattress. I never was violent or did any of the things mentioned in the paragraph, but I wasn't ready. And I was half measuring it. And my first sponsee, she was a vision sponsor, or my first sponsor was a vision sponsor. And she was so patient and answered all of my questions, from like, why can't I have processed meats? Why can't I have lunch meat? To the more spiritual questions. I, at that point, just wanted to diet. I wanted to restrict. I didn't want to follow my food plan. And she asked me all of these questions, like, Maggie, why won't you trust the process? At what point are you stopping trust? And she asked me these hard questions that made me look at myself. She didn't just say, Maggie, you have to go out and do some more eating, I guess. She worked with me, and I wrote her these long emails, like paragraphs and paragraphs, and they were, I'm sure they were exhausting, but she took the time to answer each of them, answer all of my questions, and she didn't just say, you're not ready yet, go experience some more suffering. She helped me, and it turned out I did have to experience some more suffering, but if I had had a sponsor at that time who was uncompassionate and impatient, I don't know that I would have come back. And today I have over 3 months of total abstinence, and the promises are coming true. I'm sharing on this line, and I've always been too afraid to do that. So that's incredible. And I make calls to people, even though those scare me too. So I'm really grateful for that first sponsor, even though it didn't end up working out. Grateful for the second one. And the third one, my current one, and grateful for all of you guys. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thanks so much, Maggie. And now we'll have Julie S.
Hi, this is Joy, J-O-Y-S, from Pennsylvania.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay, no problem. Thank you, everyone, for all their shares I've heard this morning. I just can't begin my day without a vision meeting. I just can't. You know, I read in this chapter, you know, that like, that, and, you know, I can relate, you know, to this disease is suffering. It is suffering on so many different levels. Yeah, maybe not so much on, you know, this high of a level, you know, but there is so much suffering in this disease. And the more that I recognize my own suffering, you know, I just can't help but want to help someone else out of their suffering as well. And I think we all feel that. And that is, I hear that every morning when I listen to this meeting. And
I have reached those types of, you know, such relief, you know, to take a phone call. You know, there are words. Now, and you know, it just really, gratitude for Graham and the acknowledgement, you know, giving back is something that, you know, I am required to do because it was gifted to me and I need to gift back to others, you know. So I'm very, very grateful for this program, and that's all I have. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy. And Kathleen W. is up next, followed by Joan R. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen W. from Illinois. Thank you all for your shares and for your service. I really love to hear this again, this paragraph. I need to keep this ever before me, but I'm so grateful that this has come up today because I need this reminder. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day if need be. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, radio to your parents with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. You know, your telephone may jangle at any time. And I'll tell you, I've spent time in this program being selfish. You know, I didn't want my pleasures interrupted in the evening. You know, I wanted to watch television. You know, that's one of my great pleasures, you know, watching television in the evening. And there have been times when I've seen the number come up of somebody that, you know, I know it's from OA, and yeah, I didn't want to take it. I was watching a program. I didn't want to be interrupted. I didn't want this interruption. But now I'm saying how vital my work with others, how vital it is to my recovery. And it's through listening to this telephone meeting each day that it's being highlighted to me. And I'm more willing. I prayed and asked God, please, God, help me. Help me to want to help others, you know, and remove the selfishness, because that's what that was all about. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to be interrupted. And, you know, by God's grace and a miracle, my heart is more and more willing to be interrupted during my day, to be aware that there may be interruptions, and to leave myself open for that. And and I feel good. It brings me great joy. You know, God's path leads us to joy. And for sure, this very thing that I did not want to do, which was working with others, has, you know, it led me to joy. And I need to do more of it, you know, more outreach calls. So thank you so much. I'm just claiming my seat today. Haven't been able to speak in the last couple of weeks. So thank you so much for hearing me. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. And Joan R. is up next. Go ahead, Joan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all the beautiful shares. And this last one was really what I was going to share about in my recovery, thinking about the foundation stone and getting rid of the selfishness and being willing to have God remove the selfishness, the seventh step prayer. That is what is an everyday thing, you know, slash with, combined with the tremendous joy of, you know, getting those phone calls when, you know, it seems like sometimes when you most needed them, it's like a God connection. And now, and working the program, living in steps 10, 11, and 12 is so beautiful. You know, for me, it was an impossible thing. It was an impossible thing because I have come from mental illness to a healthier way of life. And that set aside prayer, set aside what I'm thinking, and for what my higher power thinks, so much better. So I'm very grateful to Vision for you and for these meetings. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan. And Jennifer C. is up next, followed by Francois. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Sherry, thank you so much for your service. And, you know, this paragraph reminds me that that service is critical, right? But more importantly, from the very first paragraph of this chapter, we're told that it needs to be intensive service. The definition of intensive is concentrated, thorough, and vigorous. I need to concentrate on this work. It needs to be thorough. It needs to be sacrificial. You know, how can I, a self-centered thrill seeker that I used to be, how can I continue to show up for people this way, right? This very sacrificial, focused way. I can only do that with God. I only have the power to do that and be that with God. And so it's really a byproduct. It's because I've had a spiritual awakening. It's not to get my spiritual awakening, right? That's not why I do service. It's because I have it to give away. I have it to bring to the table now. I've gone from Bill to Ebby, right? I'm an Ebby now. And at this point, I have to believe that God will show me what each person needs. Some need a lot more discipline and structure. some need to let go of all the discipline and structure, all the ways that they've tried to control things so tightly in their lives, right? Some need to be kept busy all day long with assignments because they'll eat if they're not busy. Others need to stop feeling like the ceiling's going to fall if they don't do all the work and check all the boxes, right? Because that's going to ultimately take them to the food. So this tells me that helping others is the foundation of my recovery, helping them. But, you know, if I try to do this without that step 11, praying for knowledge of his will, power to carry it out, you know, I could actually hurt someone more than I help them if I'm not depending on God. So that's what's so awesome is that the more I stay connected to God's heart, which is always love and compassion, my service becomes an I want to instead of like I need to. I need to do this or I'm going to, you know, relapse. No, I want to do this. Just like the rest of this program becomes an I want to, right? It'll never stop being an I need to. But by God's grace today, it's because I want to. It's an overflow of God's love. So thank you so much for letting me share and let this service that we do be a byproduct of our relationship with God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. And Francois, you're up next. I miscalculated, so you have time for a two-minute share. So go ahead and unmute, Francois.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Francois is C from Montreal. But I'm in Texas for the winter, so I'm very happy. And a couple of weeks ago, I was on and I was in a bad place. And this chapter on helping others is absolutely amazing because I was in a bad place. And I must have received, I don't know how many phone calls after this meeting, people checking in with me, do I need anything, call me anytime that you want. Which absolutely touched me. And then all these phone calls from OAers that I haven't seen for so long in my area or in other areas that I, you know, met at conferences or assemblies, all came back into my life. And it's as if every day people were, whether they knew it or not, whatever prompted them to do these outreach calls, it just gave me what I needed. And to sort of rebalance myself. And I'm gratefully abstinent again. I'm on shaky ground. I have to redo my steps. So I'll stay after the meeting and, you know, get some numbers again because I left the numbers I had collected in Montreal. But doing service is so important and I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Francois, and for everybody. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You?
Hey, good morning again. My name is Jordan L. And let me turn to 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.